Okay, we're going to get right to it. We're going to go to the Western Hotline to talk about this Bills trade with Kansas City. Joining us on the Western Hotline, Carrington Harrison. He talks Chiefs. Carrington, we are forever linked. We can never go more than a week or two or three without talking about Bills Chiefs, and here they are tied together again in the draft. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just have a quick question before we get going. What kind of commercials did you have me listening to? What kind of conditions do the people of Buffalo have? Something wrong with your stomach. Your whole insides is messed up. Buffalo. Them wings.
We've got indigestion over waiting for the Bills to make a pick. You know, hey, we got to wait till tonight for the first pick of the second round. So Bills have three picks today. The Chiefs make their pick. They trade up with the Bills. And they get Xavier Worthy. So what's reaction there in Kansas City as Patrick Mahomes gets another weapon and the fastest weapon in this draft?
I mean, you guys saw the frustration that Patrick Mahomes had during the regular season towards his wide receivers, that the Chiefs came into this draft with two clear needs. They needed a left tackle and they needed a wide receiver. And the Chiefs, I think we've seen a pattern with them when it comes to the draft of they're going to be pretty aggressive about what they need. I think if you looked at most of the mock drafts, there were three wide receivers that were kind of pegged towards the Chiefs. It was A.D. Mitchell, who's still on the board. I think he actually makes a lot of sense for Buffalo if that's a direction that they want to go. I think it was Ladd McConkey, who's also still on the board as well, and then Xavier Worthy. I mean, the Chiefs clearly have a type. You look at Reed in Philadelphia with Macklin and DeSean Jackson. I mean, he is looking for a style of receiver, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman. If you got a guy that runs a 4-3, and one problem that the Chiefs have had is just big plays since they lost Tyreek Hill, they haven't been that explosive down the field kind of offense. So the move makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the explosive plays, it's something we've heard the Bills talking about too, that these defenses have tried to defend Mahomes and Allen by playing these big shells and making them beat them on shorter passing plays. Last year, if I'm not mistaken, was last year Patrick Mahomes' like shortest average depth of target, the entire passing game kind of got reined in, and it is the belief that with Worthy and also add Marquise Brown, that they'll be able to open things up in a way that they used to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely the feeling with the team. Also, I mean, I think the Chiefs' biggest problem is it's obviously what you were just alluding to, but a lot of it, too, is just consistency. I mean, they thought they had that explosive player with Kadarius Toney, but the drops were an issue. Sky Moore, he hasn't developed in a way that they thought. So, I mean, we've seen them take a wide receiver now in the top 60 in the last three drafts. You get Worthy a couple of years ago, you get Sky Moore, and then you got Rashee Rice last year. And also you got to factor in that since Rashee Rice wanted to play speed racer in Dallas, that at some point he's going to be suspended this season, and no one knows when that's going to be.
Surprising that Worthy would be the receiver they target in any way?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, like I said, I mean, if you look at the mock drafts, those were the three that were the most likely to go to Kansas City. I really wanted them to get A.D. Mitchell. I just thought he was a more polished receiver. But Worthy or Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, those were the ones that people were kind of looking at as the ones that made a lot of sense. There were some people that kind of wanted them to do what Buffalo was doing, trading back, picking up some assets. Maybe you get a guy like Keon Coleman. Maybe you get a guy like Troy Franklin. I mean, there were a lot of wide receiver names that have been pegged toward the Chiefs during this entire process.
Carrington Harrison on the Western Hotline. All right, Carrington, that's all we need. We'll be watching the rest of the draft, and, of course, the Bills have three picks today, so you know, we'll see what happens. Thanks again for the quick check-in.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Carrington Harrison on the Western Hotline of 610 Sports in Kansas City on Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs.
It is interesting that they – you know who, like, one of the popular comps was for Xavier Worthy? Was Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
Like, hey, is there any example out there – really small, really light, outside wide receiver that does it mostly with speed. And the one I heard a lot of was Marquise Brown, who's sub, like he's in the 170, 175-pound range, 5'9", super fast, and he's been a good player. He hasn't been, like, insane, but he's been a very good player. And now I kind of feel like they have two of those guys.
Ayuk as an idea. Who are the rumored targets or the rumored teams for Ayuk? Pittsburgh's been connected a lot. They took a guard.
Yep. Jacksonville was the team that the Niners reportedly made an offer to. They took Brian Thomas, so they are definitely out.
Yep.
Right? They're definitely out.
Yep. Maybe the Bills get that third and package it, what, a second and a third for Ayuk? Is that crazy? What's the price for him?
Well, it's not a first anymore.
Not anymore, right? unless it's a future first, in which case... Yeah. That seems, I think that ship would have sailed. You're not trading next year's first for Ayuk.
No, I don't think so.
You're paying him a very big dollar amount. If anyone wonders, like, how could they fit him under the cap? Easy. You trade for him, you sign and extend, you get his salary cap to a point where this year it's a low hit. And by the way, eating all of the Diggs money opens up a receiver salary for next year.
Yeah.
A number one receiver sized hole sits there in next year's cap. And if you were to just go get Brandon Ayuk, like, boom, problem solved.
Yeah.
It would, if they just did that one move, I feel like questions about this upcoming season would just be over. Like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, it would almost feel like a wash, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, Diggs out, him in. You might even.
Younger, better.
Yeah, you might think you get 16 games of him playing at that level rather than Diggs last year where we just conspicuously started to fall off.
Yeah.
So I could get to a point of even arguing they'd be better. Maybe, at receiver. I mean, Samuel in for Davis. Davis wasn't a part of their offense in the last couple of games. So they got to do it. And isn't the Niners pivoting a little bit here and saying, like, well, we might rather trade Debo that they wanted a first, and now no one's giving it to him, so they might keep Ayuk. But what are they getting for Debo Samuel? Like, that is Ayuk, like, for the Bills, that's easier because you extend him, the cap number's lower at the beginning, which is when you have all the dead cap. You can find you can fit him in the bigger years, 2-3 years down the road, but the part of that is you could do it now and fit him in. Samuel is in the middle of his extension. Samuel is in the middle of the meat of the big contract. And he is older, 28 years old. And, I mean, for the Bills specifically, he's better, but he's similar to Curtis Samuel. Is he not? I mean, they're not quite carbon copies of each other. I know they're the same last name. But in the way they're used, it's pretty similar. So if the Niners now are saying, well, we actually don't want to trade Ayuk, we want to trade Debo. Like, I don't think the Bills are in that ball game, even though I think he'd be a lot cheaper. You're probably not giving up. I mean, well, that's the Amari Cooper trade, isn't it? That's the Keenan Allen trade, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
Where I'm giving up a third or a fourth.
The major difference in the Keenan Allen trade is he's old and has how many years left. And if you trade Ayuk, like if you're San Francisco, this is the point about, you know, trading with the Chiefs and trading with enemies. Ayuk, you're going to send him to the AFC. Like, get him where he's not in our hair too much.
Right.
You wouldn't trade him to, like, who's in San Francisco's hair? The Chiefs.
Or the, who isn't San Francisco? The Eagles.
Eagles.
But they're not doing that.
803-0550. Let's get some more calls in. Tony in Buffalo. We connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Hey, Tony.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Morning. Good.
In a great mood. You won't find anybody in a better mood than me.
Good.
Where do I start? Cooper DeJean is still on the board. Brandon Bean absolutely killed it last night.
And so I'm guessing you want Cooper DeJean then.
I've been calling in for weeks, preaching Cooper. Absolutely. And why not?
All right. If they pass on him, did Bean still kill it?
You know, that's a good question.
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just
down.
Yeah.
There's guys that we were projected and fit our scheme that are there. We could use a center. The D tackle's there. But Cooper's there. A game-changing safety. A very versatile guy. Perfect. I mean, what did we want to do? Anyone I debated all week is neighbors. Neighbors went sixth overall. What are we talking about? We want the sixth or seventh best receiver. Why not get the eighth or ninth best receiver and get a game changing safety?
All right, thanks, Tony. We just want Josh Allen to throw to competent receivers.
I'm looking right now. By the way, listen, I know we're tossing out Cooper DeJean can do it all. Do you know how many snaps he played at safety last year at Iowa? You know how many snaps he played at safety? One. We're putting him at safety. I'm not saying he can't do it. Everyone says he's a sick athlete, and maybe he's done it before last year. I can look. He played one snap at safety. Wide corner, 630. He played Rasul Douglas in Christian Benford's spot last year. So you could draft him, and maybe he'll be great playing a different position than he did last year. But isn't there a reason he wasn't mentioned until like the last week whenever we talked about safety? It wasn't him. It was Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's listed as a cornerback.
You know, safeties also Tyler Newbin and Javon Bullard. And
like, Micah Hyde is someone that played corner and then transitioned to more of a full-time safety role. But this guy played one snap at safety last year, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where he's not playing corner. He's not playing corner. They have three corners that are on the field unless they are getting injured. He played zero snaps at safety the year before that, by the way. So I don't know where this is coming from, well, that he's going to be a full-time safety for the Buffalo Bills.
If they draft him and think he can play safety and put him back there, listen, here's where it makes sense. And Tony, if it makes you happy, I'm happy about that. I've always thought that safety could be very high on the board just because the Bills, of course, through McDermott's entire tenure, have been built at safety and corner, like at least three. Until the injuries and the age started to pop up, you had Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, and Jordan Poyer, the three of them, play together for 7 years, basically. That's incredible. Yes. And before Trey got hurt, it was like, what, 5 years of just the three of them on the field at all times? And the Bills' defense, like McDermott, he can sleep at night when he can count on his secondary. So if they go for that, what I know is they're starting to rebuild long-term the next phase of their defensive backfield. And I have every reason to believe that's a good idea for them. Well, mm-hmm. a lot of this really comes down to like this stress about receiver and the wide receiver train and all of it is that it is so overdue that we are louder and more annoying about it. If they had taken a couple over the last couple of years with reasonable spots and we're not returning one to the room, Khalil Shakir, one. Mack Hollins, Curtis Samuel. I mean, it's just they haven't addressed the position adequately. And then one of the guys that was good left in free agency, and they traded the other. It's kind of stunning. Last year's core needed help, and then they gutted it, and they've not yet put up, you know, drywall and put up mud and paint and all that. They just need work. And it's when are you going to finish this receiver project for Josh Allen? It's been sitting there for years. TJ on a cell phone. Hey, TJ, good morning.
Jeremy, Joe, good morning. How you doing this morning?
We're good.
Good.
I wish I shared the last caller's optimism. I usually do during the draft process. I need to be talked off the ledge, guys. This KC deal, this isn't a new take. I just don't understand. The look of this trade matters to me. I mean, this team has eliminated you from the playoffs 3 years. They are the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. It's not so much that we didn't want Worthy. It's the fact that we enabled KC to get their guy that I just cannot wrap my head around. I cannot get it. I need you guys to speak some truth to me and just tell me what's going on. Like, I cannot wrap my head around how we could enable KC to get their guy, and this is a team that we're competing with for the Super Bowl. I just don't understand it, guys.
Yeah. DJ, like, in terms of talking you off it, there's a couple things. One, I agree with you. I would not have done it. Period. I would not have done it. And what did they get for it? They added, on the value chart, 8 points. It's a late sixth.
Yep.
Seth Walder pointed out it's one of the cheapest trades in the last 20 years that's not a, like, non-quarterback trade. It's one of the cheapest moves up. You'll see.
That's maybe where my biggest problem is, because I do not need teams to say there's no circumstance ever where I won't trade with you. But if you are going to trade with a Kansas City, if you're going to trade with a Miami or New York Jets, you've got to be a premium. There's got to be a premium. If I'm trading with you, you got to outbid everybody else. You got to pay more than what's expected here. And for the Chiefs to basically get it at the blue book value, like that's where my problem lies. Like, if I'm the Bengals, you asked me last segment, like, if I'm the Bengals, would I trade T. Higgins to the Bills? And I think really where I want my answer to be is, I would, but I'm making them pay more than everybody else would.
Right, they're gonna have to pay more than the Bears, than the Vikings.
Right.
Because they're the Bills.
Right, but it doesn't feel like the Bills did that here. It feels like they just they took market rate from the Chiefs.
And Josh, do you have the cut about Bean talking about the third rounder? Because I'm sure, I'd like to believe, that the Bills did not do this solely with the interest of, like, we got to get in the third round. Because they did that. They moved up from the fourth to the third. You know, there was not an added pick. They didn't get another asset. They just moved their picks around. So they mixed up their picks. Here's his comment on the third round pick that they acquired in this pick shuffling. Again, they have the same number of picks, but they shuffled.
We were checking the whole night, you know, around our area and back, and we were just, like every year, following the board and where we think the value is. Obviously, we came into this draft without a three, and we were able to, you know, get ourselves back into the third and feel like there'll be some value.
You said it another time. It's a little bit different, talking about that third specifically. Man, you asked the question. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's funny to ask it. If they get that comp pick for Tremaine Edmonds in the third round, do they make that trade? They might not.
I don't think they do. Why would you need to, I guess? Why would you feel like you need to? Was the fourth round pick they gave up actually the Edmonds pick anyway? I don't know which fourth they gave up. Was it the compensatory one? So maybe what happens then, right? If we really want to deep down that hypothetical, they get the third for Edmonds. They don't feel as much pressure or priority like, hey, let's get an extra third round pick because we don't have one. They've got a third. Then what? Are they just sitting there at 28 and are they drafting? Are they taking Xavier Worthy? Are they taking Leggett? Are they taking one of the defensive linemen? However they get to receiver, I'm good with. I just need them to get to receiver.
Yeah, they just got
to
get there. They'll do it today. Brandon Ayuk, anyone? Back to the phones. Tommy in Buffalo. Hey, Tommy, good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller, as cliche as that might sound.
Good to have you.
Thank you. Jeremy, as always, great job. Joe, I wanted to compliment you. When Howard left and you came in, I was a little concerned, right? I knew your work a little bit, but here you are, and you're killing it. I love it. I do have a question, but a statement, and it circles back to what you guys were just talking about. It couldn't have been about the third round, getting back into the third round. I think they weren't so much focused or scared of the Chiefs as some of these callers might allude to. I think it's about having an opinion or knowing their guy wasn't going based on who was picking in front of us when we moved back to, you know, say 32 and then 33, meaning I think the Bills knew all along that they were going to go with cornerback. Is it Cooper DeJean?
Yeah.
Maybe. So the reason here's my question. I really want Ladd McConkey. I'm a longtime season ticket holder. I'm actually angry about the new stadium because I finally found my perfect seats. I love them. I won't share them out loud. It's like sitting on my couch. They keep me there. So I don't want to move. I want to stay right where I'm at, right? Change is bad. So we've got 4 5th round picks. Do you see them moving up? I look at what's available and Adam Schefter's big board of players available for Friday night, and I look at who's picking. The Bears are sitting at number 39. So my question is, what is it going to take to get those 5th round picks, the 4 of them,
yeah,
and get us to the Bears at 39? Do we take Cooper DeJean, which I allude we might, and possibly go McConkey at 39?
So that takes about 200 points on one of the draft value charts. Like, I like this idea. So the Bills take somebody at 33, and then they try to come up from 60 to 39. That is 200 points. And, Joe, they have 4 5th rounders.
Mm-hmm.
Where's their 4th rounder? Do they still have 2 4th rounders? Or
I think they have 4 5th rounders.
Four fifths. How many fourths?
They have, I'm double checking right now. I think it's one. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's 200 points. Like, if you offered the Bears, who only have, thanks, Tommy, for the question, they only have 4 picks total. Hey, yeah. Chicago, here's a 4th and 3 5ths for that 30. If you want to move up from 60. And that's the funny thing about this. We can sit here and say how smart Bean was to trade down. Trading down smart. It's really smart to trade down. Look at that. They traded down. They're so smart. If they just trade up with some of the stuff they got, is it still as smart? I mean, I'm not saying no. I mean, just if you're someone that lives and dies with, oh, they did the smart thing, they can just undo it by making a trade up in the mid-30s in the second round?
I totally see them doing that. They have 1/4 at 128, by the way.
I will be stunned. I mean, stunned's a little heavy. They're going to take a receiver. That's not a surprise. I'll be very surprised if it's receiver 33. Because, again, how many receivers would they have had to have liked to go from 28 to 29, 28 to 32 to 33. Three of them got taken. You're telling me the Bills in that moment are on the board and they're like, we're ready to take a receiver, and we like all five of these guys. Brandon Bean doesn't do that. He doesn't punt on a group of players he likes. Yeah. He goes and says, him. That's my guy. That's his whole...
But the same could be said for that for Cooper DeJean.
That's
it?
I know, but what I'm saying
or
is...
Or a lineman.
What I'm saying is, if you did that, it's just much more likely that when those picks that you didn't love, that you didn't love 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, you didn't love them, but which position got completely reduced in that moment? It's just, to me, so much more likely that a defensive back, a defensive lineman, or a center is above the next receiver on the board. And again, it remains a deep receiver class. If you were to say you're going to get Jackson Powers Johnson here in the first pick of the second round, who's the next center? I don't know. The class at center is probably not as deep where I can get Javon Baker and Jalen Polk with my 60th pick.
Mm-hmm.
They can probably have a lot of faith that they can get a receiver at 60 and probably in the third round now that they have one there. So I would bet against receiver at 33. I really would, unless, of course, they trade it. I'd bet against it.
I think they'll take it.
By the way, let's not forget, we do have some day two and day three ideas that we like. For instance, don't sleep on the Yak King, Malachi Corley.
Malachi Corley. He's not on our board.
Give me some Malachi Corley.
He is not up here.
J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings.
Want another stat of the day for you?
Yes.
Stat of the day. We've been talking a lot about Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean or Cooper DeJean, by the way?
Good question.
I'm going to go DeJean. I like the sound of it better. Cooper DeJean, I just mentioned a stat that he played one snap at safety in his college career. Get ready for this. Cooper DeJean played more snaps at wide receiver in his Iowa career than safety.
Oh, future Bills receiver Cooper DeJean. Let's go.
He played he played two, by the way.
Think of him just... Think of him as a receiver.
Yes.
Think of him as a receiver. Thank you for that. That's great.
He also played more snaps at running back, by the way.
He played more snaps at running back than safety?
He played one at safety and two at receiver and two at running back.
That's this year?
In his career.
Career. He's at one career safety snap?
Yep. Compared to at wide corner, 1,117. He was a cornerback at Iowa. But he played four snaps between receiver and running back and one at safety.
Look at this. Positionless football, Joe. Cooper DeJean.
If I hear positionless one football. Person tell me that, imagine Bean taking DeJean tonight and having the audacity to go up to the press conference and say, guys, he even played a little bit at wide receiver.
Absolutely wild. Good stuff. Good find. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call, 803-0550. Join us on the phones, on the airwaves, on our Facebook page as well. We are live streaming this little chat we're having here the day after. Thanks again to Resurgence and everybody that came out to our draft party. We had a great time. It was a great, great time. Good to see everybody and see so many Bills fans. Bills fans like to hang out and drink beer and eat pizza, as it turns out.
And be mad about their football team.
There was some consternation.
Yeah, there was. I will tell you this, though. I have never heard a louder ovation. The Chargers draft party in L.A. or whatever, I guarantee you, did not get as big of an ovation as our draft party did when they picked Joe Alt.
It was great.
The Chargers took an offensive tackle, and a draft party in Buffalo erupted.
That's right.
Like the Sabres scored a playoff goal. It was nuts.
That's right. 803-0550. Join us. Happy Friday.
I had planned all along to not make a huge jump back, but it made sense to go in and go one back, get the pole position tomorrow. And we knew no matter who Carolina was going to take, that we still felt there was some good value on the board at 33, you know, which is the first one tomorrow. And so it made sense to do that. But again, I couldn't have told you 30 minutes before we moved back that we were definitely moving back.
Okay. What's that say? 30 minutes before, that's what? 2-3 picks?
Yeah.
And that's the second move back. So when they're at 32, they did not know they were going to go back further. They had a player they liked, and, you know, it was not Xavier Legette, or at least they were not afraid of it being Xavier Legette, who Carolina takes.
Yeah.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Friday. Is the high today still going to be 70? I saw 71.
Is that what it was supposed to be?
65.
Get some Mario Williams weather today here.
Monday is 79. Picks. Let's go.
Yesterday was chilly outside.
Was.
We had, what, 250-plus people in our room upstairs at Resurgence, and there was one, I had some friends actually that were over on a table by, like, they have a garage up there that, like, opens up.
Yeah.
And they ended up, like, even with all those people in there, so, like, it was warm in certain spots, like, it was like a winter storm with the wind coming in, it felt like. But they obviously, it's a garage, so they can close it, and then it was fine there. But it felt like it was winter outside.
Felt like vest season.
Vest season.
I did have a vest on last night, too, so I prepared for the elements. Didn't think it was going to be that cold, though.
Our draft board somehow survived, but without getting broken in half, by the way, in anger last night. Although the Xavier Worthy label was ripped in half by somebody.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Ripped in half. Yeah.
Took some effort, though. It was like,
yeah, those things were sturdy.
Yeah.
It wasn't so easy.
It was like stretchy almost.
Yep.
Back to the phones. Trenton in Akron. Hey, Trenton, what's up?
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good to be talking. It's my first time calling, so I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Well, we're excited to have you. Thanks for calling.
So, if you were in a draft room with Dean, wouldn't you have drafted Brian Thomas if you were in the draft room?
I probably wouldn't have traded up for Brian Thomas, and it might have taken that. One of the things he said, Bean said they didn't make a lot of calls about trading up aggressively, but a lot of the reporting was that they knew the prices. Not necessarily, you know, some about trading aggressively, that might have been a smokescreen. Bean said a few times, I wasn't going to give up that second round pick. I just wasn't going to give up that second. And to me, you wouldn't say that unless that was the price. Giving up your second to go get, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. or whoever it might have been that you would consider moving up for. So I don't think the Bills are against trading up in philosophy. They just didn't want to pay it. I mean, we know they trade up all the time. They just didn't want to pay. And I guess they didn't want to pay a second-round pick to move up to where Brian Thomas Jr. ultimately went.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Joe, where is that in the value chart? Right? Jacksonville goes with Brian Thomas Jr. at 23,
they made that pick.
So a second rounder is probably too much to get up to.
I think so. Yeah, from 23 to where the Bills were at 20, it's exactly 100. And 100 is the final pick of round three.
Okay, and the Bills didn't have a third. If the Bills had a third round pick, do they have Brian Thomas Jr. instead? I don't know.
They might. They had an early fourth, which is close. Like, you could have got there. The Jaguars would have had to want that. But, like, a fourth and a fifth would have got you there.
There's also a conversation about, I mean, we never get to know this stuff. You're the Bills. You call the Jags.
Yeah.
Hey, we'd like to pick here. Oh, I bet you would.
Yeah.
I'm sure you would.
They want Brian Thomas.
Yeah, we're not going to let you take a receiver.
So you would have had to go up in front of them, actually.
Yes.
Really. Which would have been the Eagles at 22.
And the Eagles love to trade down.
That was, man, we were at our party. Once the Steelers took a guard, which was hilarious, by the way. The Steelers, what a fake organization.
Well, wait till they trade for Ayuk. Maybe that's why.
But then 21 and 22, like, I'm thinking, like, 22 was that sweet spot. Because are the Dolphins moving with you? I guess they could, but that's in the division. The Eagles sitting there at 22, I really was think I wanted that to be a trade-up. Because, again, we're talking, like, yeah, we're talking third-round value, but can you get someone to give you a 5-pick trade down for a couple of day 3 picks, or maybe give them a future third next year? You got 2 seconds, but maybe they've made that offer. Bean sounded like though he didn't.
Yeah, there's, again, it's to me the language is very specific. He said, I didn't aggressively go trade up. I didn't make calls. Nobody called me, and I'm not calling, you know, a day out. He went online and looked at all the prices. He did the shopping. He called these GMs over the course of weeks. He would have talked to them. He'd text and known that Chicago would have said, like, it's going to be a future first. We're starting there. And if he's not willing to do that, then no, I didn't aggressively pursue that. I just found out what it cost. I bet he found out what it cost with a lot of teams and ultimately didn't pay it. Mickey in Connecticut is next up. Hey, Mickey, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm conflicted, right? Because admittedly, I don't mind the whole trade back situation. I mean, if you look at it, besides wide receiver, we mainly need mostly players that are on the defensive side. And most of the players that we would want on the defensive side are still on the board. And I agree with you. I think there's a real strong possibility of them trading up in the second round. But to trade, what's killing me about the first round is not just two wide receivers going. It's the fact that you did it with the Chiefs. I mean, have we all forgotten that one of the last times we traded with the Chiefs, look at what happened. They got Patrick Mahomes from our pick. Like, we've been burnt by them enough. I don't want to give them any more. I don't want to give them any justice. And then the worst of all is, because we know this is how fandom works, is we're always going to be tied to these two picks, the Chiefs one and the one that just went at 32. With whoever we pick in the first, in the second round or whatever the case may be, we're going to be tied to them and saying, was that the smart move forever until it's proven? And it won't be proven to the end of next season. We already know that. And meaning, like, do the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl again?
Yeah.
Did we just give them the key to their fourth Super Bowl in three in a row? You know what I'm saying? So I would have drank the poison before ever trading with the Chiefs. Yeah. Just saying.
Thanks, Mickey.
You know, but
I'm with you. I wouldn't have made the trade. And that doesn't mean I needed them to take Worthy. I mean, I didn't mean to hang up on you if I did. For me, it's like we talk about bulletin board material all the time and how it might be nonsense, right? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, well, they're not motivated. Like, the Bills are, of course, going to put their best team they can on the field, and Brandon Bean's going to, you know, operate like normal. I, as a GM in that spot, when they call, I would say to my staff, there's no way I'm letting them get a guy. I don't care if he flames out or is good. If I don't know that, I'm not giving them this scratch-off. Call somebody else. Call Detroit. Call somebody else. Don't call me. Now, maybe the Bills were so bent on moving back or getting that third from the fourth, getting into the third, that's the cost. Hey, should we do this? Listen, we're going to get in the third for it, and if we draft a nice player in the third round, it'll be worth it. That's where I would have said, is that player in the third round going to be fast enough to cover Xavier Worthy? Because he's going to need to be. I wouldn't have done it. I mean, it doesn't mean it has to be terrible, but if you're someone out there that, you know, like Mickey says, I'm with you. I would not have done it.
I do wonder if they would have ended up with Worthy. You had a team right after them in Dallas that had been connected there because Jerry Jones loves the Texas guys, I guess, and they have CeeDee Lamb on a one-year deal and then an old Brandon Cooks at wide receiver.
Should we start CeeDee Lamb rumors?
We could.
Trade for CeeDee Lamb.
But then you had also the Ravens who've been connected to receiver and the Niners who actually took a wide receiver. So I'm not saying they couldn't have ended up with Worthy, but what are their odds? You don't make that trade with them. What are their odds of getting their guy? I would bet they wouldn't have gotten him. That someone there, Dallas, Baltimore, San Francisco, who all could have took receiver, might have loved him enough, or that none of them would have traded with them, and you go three spots. The Niners took a receiver. So does one of those three teams do it? Again, it could have happened, but I think there's a very real chance they don't end up with Worthy if you don't make that pick, that trade with them.
Yeah, it's just not on my watch. I'm not getting him on my watch, but here we are. We have to watch him, and hopefully he stinks, and then the Bills would be right twice. Then it would be sabotage. Oh, you want him? We know he's going to stink, which, of course, we don't know. Cody in Rochester. Hey, Cody.
Good morning, guys. I'm frustrated because Brandon Bean said a while back, he said, you know, I want my head to hit the pillow knowing that we got our guy. Where's our guy? You know, yeah. I'm on short sleep here. I stayed up all night to see nothing, essentially. But I feel like I'm wondering what Josh Allen's psyche is at the moment here, because it's been 4 years straight now of us not picking a wide receiver up high. You know, I mean, we traded for Diggs, of course, you know, and that's great. But ever since then, we've not invested in that. We got Dalton, and I think he's going to do well. But I feel like Josh feels a little like Aaron Rodgers at the moment, going, what the heck, guys? Like, where are my premium assets here? Like, you know, I've got the tools here to take us places. Why are you not giving me what I need? You know, I think that anything short of grabbing, you know, two wide receivers out of our next three picks is unacceptable, because unless they're stockpiling those picks to make a trade for someone, and I do not want Deebo Samuel, it has to be someone that's like, certified, like an Ayuk or someone like that, because otherwise I'm not interested. I don't want Cortland Sutton. I don't want, you know, some other guys here. I just want them to make better decisions, I guess, with the receivers.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to try and find on the receivers as we look to, like, who they get for day two here, all the meetings of the guys they've had left. Who have they met with?
We know Devontae Walker is still left there, and he was one, I think, the first one we learned about.
They met with Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
We know that.
McConkey said they had, right?
Yep.
Several, he also talked about them.
Several times with McConkey.
Yep. They had Troy Franklin in for a visit. He even confirmed that on Instagram that he was here. And then the rest of them, like Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, Roman Wilson, those guys I'm not sure about. Malachi Corley, I don't know. Who's left? Do I have to start learning third-round receiver names? All of them?
Give me some names. I'll tell you yes or no if I like them.
All right.
If I remember. We're deeper than I thought we might have to go.
All right, so Mitchell, McConkey, Coleman, Polk, we all know. Jalen McMillan, we know.
Washington guy.
This is just on ESPN's Best Available. Then Troy Franklin, we know. Yep. Brendan Rice, we know.
Yep.
Roman Wilson, Javon Baker, Devontae Walker, Malachi Corley.
Mike Malachi Corley, the Yak King.
All right, here we go. Malik Washington.
Okay.
Virginia.
I think Trapasso likes him.
Johnny Wilson.
That's the 6'7" guy.
Florida State. 6'7".
Yeah, no.
Bub Means.
Business. Bub Means business.
Bub. They're going to pick Bub to be their number one
receiver.
I would
sign up for Bub Means right now.
Jamari Thrash.
Not a bad idea.
Louisville. Yeah, Luke McCaffrey.
Okay.
Jermaine Burton.
Jermaine Burton's probably an off-the-board guy.
Because he's like a...
Jermaine Burton is... Boy, if they take Jermaine Burton, it would be super interesting because he is said to be a top 10 receiver in talent. Maybe a first-round pick in talent, but...
Character. Nobody wants anything to do with him.
There's a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else?
Cornelius Johnson, Anthony Gold, Jacob Cowing.
I like Jacob Cowing a little bit.
Okay. Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint, of course.
Slow.
We know him.
He's like the slowest receiver, and he ran a 4.8.
Yeah. Devon Vele, Jordan Whittington. That's another Texas receiver, I guess. Xavier Weaver is a name at receiver. Trick Griffin.
Just say Brandon Ayuk and let's call it a day.
Jalen Coker. There's Ryan Flournoy. They had him for a visit. Drake Stoops. That's Oklahoma. Is that Bob Stoops' son?
Who knows? Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up 10 o'clock as we're rolling. Your draft reaction. See if we get any rumors. Best players still available. Bills on the clock. First pick of the second round. Stay tuned to WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, thanks to everybody for texting, calling, Facebook commenting.
Yep. Did you see what the, I like this tweet from Adam Levitan. I want to fade the Chargers. So far, Jim Harbaugh's Chargers have 1. Cut Mike Williams, 2. Traded Keenan Allen, 3. Let Austin Eckler and Gerard Everett walk, 4. Signed blocking tight end Will Disley and short yardage back Gus Edwards, 5. Passed on Malik Nabers for Joe Alt.
Last minute of play in the show.
They're building a certain type of team.
One that is going to ask Justin Herbert to be a game manager?
Yes.
Quite possibly.
Yep.
All right. What else?
13 years ago, exactly, the last Sabre playoff game. Saw that. Sorry, not to bring the mood down even more here. It's all right, though. Lindy's back.
Speaking of which, Lindy on the show Tuesday, 8 a.m.
All right.
That's the coach's show spot, and we are planning to talk to Lindy at 8 a.m. We're back, Monday. Draft coverage continues. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. Sal's going to pop in here as well. Then, you got One Bills Live. Get you through it. It's tough today because we don't get to talk about a player.
Yeah.
But Sports Talk Saturday is going to have 3 guys to talk about. Maybe more. Maybe less, I guess. 3 picks today. 2 seconds and a third. And the second is the first one on the board. That's it. Thanks for listening, calling, texting. Stay tuned. If you're on hold, you get to the next show. Talk Monday.